address is 3030 Belleville, that's B-E-L-L-E, V-I-L-L-E, Road, Orangeburg, B-U-R-G, South Carolina, 29118.
29118.
Okay. What I'd like to start with is to have me, have you tell me about your parents, their names, where they were born, how they arrived in Baltimore, how they met.
Any detail you could give
okay,
me about
sure.
Your
parents. Both my parents were from Georgia.
Okay.
My dad was born in a small town called Lumpkin, Georgia. It's near Columbus on the west coast of Georgia. And my mother was from Savannah.
Okay.
And I think they met while in college at Savannah State.
Okay.
And my dad didn't finish. I think my mother finished the two-year program there.
What were their names?
My mother was Susan Douse before she was married. And my father was William Edgar Clark.
Spell your mom's last name for me?
B-O-W-S-E.
D-O-W-S-E, okay. All right, your grandparents, were they farmers, or did they live in Savannah?
My grandfather in Lumpkin was a barber.
Okay.
And my grandfather in Savannah was a postman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, approximately what, I'm trying to get an age for your parents so I can sort of understand what time period we're talking
about. Okay, they were, let's see, my parents were married in 1934.
Okay.
And I think my father was probably born around, when was that born? I think 1910, I believe.
Okay.
And my mother would be around 19. I think she was like 5 years younger, so like around 1915 or so.
Okay, so I guess they started college sometime in the late 20s, early 30s then?
Right, yes.
Right there.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Yes. They should have been in the college in the early 30s, yeah.
Okay. So you say that you suspect that they met at Savannah State?
They did, I believe.
Okay. When did they come to Baltimore, and what were the circumstances that A, you believe, saw them leave Savannah, and
okay.
B, what about Baltimore made them come here?
Sure. My dad was, well, after he got out of college, he was in the shoe repair here. And he moved to Baltimore to work in the shoe repair shop. And then my mother, this was 1941.
Okay.
And then my mother came up there about a year. Well, no, I think he went in 1940. My mother and I moved up in 1941.
Okay.
And my sister.
Yeah. Let me have your siblings' names, by the way.
Okay. My oldest brother is William Edgar Clark, Jr. I'm Carl Clark, I'm the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister is Anita Clark, she's now Anita Clayton.
Okay.
My next sister is Frances Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two younger brothers, John Clark, John D. Clark, and James M. Clark.
Okay. Let's see. Your older... Did your parents marry before or after they had arrived in Baltimore?
They married before.
Okay.
Yeah. My brother was... I think they were married a year, and then my brother was born, and then I was born a year after.
Did your parents live in Savannah before they moved here?
Yes. They lived right next to my grandparents, and they lived on Anderson Street. I think it was 530 Anderson Street, East Anderson Street. And my grandmother lived next door at 532 East Anderson Street.
Okay. All right, so
went to school on Division Street, right around the corner. It was public school then.
Okay.
And it was, we stayed there, I think, until 47.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in 1947, you went to the Washington address?
Washington Street address.
Yes.
And you were there how long? We were there, I actually was there until I went to college.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Now, what types of things did your parents do when they arrived? Meaning, if your father wasn't in the service, if I'm correct, right?
Well, he was for part of the time.
Okay.
He wasn't originally. He worked in a shoe repair shop.
Yes.
And then later on, he went in. He was drafted, I believe, into the service near the end of the war, around 44. And because he had six kids, they didn't send him overseas.
Okay.
They kept him in, and I think he was shipped out to Wyoming somewhere.
Okay. All right, so by the time you guys get to Washington Street, the war's over, what type of work was your father able to find?
Okay, by the time he was managing the shoe repair shop.
Okay. All right, so he stayed in the trade even after the war?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, he was in the trade for all of his life.
Oh, great, great. Okay. And what about your mom? Did she work or did she stay at home?
No, she was at home at the time, you know, when we were small.
Okay, now, I suppose you probably have more vivid recollections of Washington Street.
Oh, yeah, well, I have some recollections of Juvenile Avenue.
Okay, well, let's start there. Who were some of the types of, I mean, I don't expect you to recall like it was yesterday, but, you know, what are your impressions, you know, they're sort of, I guess they're fleeting because they're childhood impressions, but, you know, if you were to close your eyes now and take yourself back there, what would you see?
Okay, well, there are certain pretty strong impressions.
Okay.
It was the same block, I don't know whether you're familiar with Baltimore or not.
Yes.
It's the same block where the Bethel AME church is.
Okay.
We were on one corner and Bethel was on the other corner.
Okay.
And I think the NAACP headquarters was somewhere around there too.
Mm-hmm.
And the school board, you know, there were segregated school boards then.
Certainly.
Is a couple of blocks away on down the street too.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good neighborhood then.
Were you guys renting there?
Yeah, we were renting.
Okay. So the reason for the move to Washington was to purchase it? Or
yes. Okay. Yes. My dad purchased the house on Washington Street.
Okay.
Great, great.
All right. And now, do you remember the school number or anything like that?
Okay, yes, I think it was 103.
103, all right.
Uh-huh.
And then when you moved to Washington Street?
We went to 101.
101, and you're about, I guess, 10 or 11 at that time, right?
Right, yeah, something like that.
Okay,
101.
All right, what about your school? Specifically, let's just go ahead and deal with 101. What was the sort of,
well, it was the one that's right next to Dunbar, in that same area. It was actually called Dunbar Elementary, I think.
Okay.
And the junior high school and the high school were on essentially the same campus right next to it.
Okay.
And it was on Caroline Street.
Okay.
Let's see, what else can I say about it?
Well, tell me about some of the teachers or just the atmosphere there. I mean, there's...
Well, we were in the college preparatory curriculum,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which was the highest curriculum. Mm-hmm. All right. So this would be approximately 1950, 1951, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, yes, it would be in the 50s. We actually went to probably in 52.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. Now, what about Dunbar? Did the junior high schools, I suppose, draw from a wider sort of section of the city?
Yeah.
Did you get any sense that, for example, maybe everybody wasn't going to college and, you know,
I don't know. I think most of the kids were in, essentially preparing for college. I don't know whether they were all going to college or not. Probably not, because I don't think most of them did.
Did your parents ever give, you know, the sort of, you can associate with those kids, but not these kids, or, you know, those guys are knuckleheads, as my pop used to say?
No, not really.
Not really? Okay.
Not really. Mom, I mean, most of the kids in that college prep course thing, we associated pretty freely. There wasn't a big problem.
Okay. All right, so, what high school would you have gone to had not you gone to Poly? Let's say, had not a segregation occurred to Poly.
I'm not sure. Well, there were really only two choices, pretty much, that at that time for college prep, and that was Douglas on the other side, or way on the west side, and Dunbar.
Okay.
And Carver, you know, was for vocational students, more or less.
Now, as you recall it, did the sort of movement and activity that would see you come to Poly, did that begin while you were in junior high school, or did
you come out all of a sudden? Yeah, a lot. I mean, well, you know, I was a very good student in math and science, and I scored very well on tests and things like that.
Okay, I read a
have much interaction with other whites.
Okay.
Okay. So it was a new experience.
Okay. Well, let me get back to Polly in a second and sort of deal with that for a second.
Okay.
As you were sort of, you know, as children, you know, as we get older, our circles of, you know, exposure sort of expands. You know, absolutely. What do you recall about the world of Baltimore or even the wider world sort of opening up to you? Say, for example, when you went shopping, how did your parents sort of explain the way things were to you, or, you know?
Well,
did they expose you from it, or?
We pretty much knew. I mean, I would go shopping with my mother, and we pretty much knew, that things were segregated and so forth.
Say, for example, do you recall clothes shopping or anything like that? How did they handle that type of situation?
We could go clothes shopping together, and we would go downtown clothes shopping. We never had any problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did they ever explain to you, we can look at these things or we can't try them on, or was it just a way they executed it that it never even dawned on you that maybe
it really never dawned on me, because I think my mother would do usually take the things home and try them on at home, and if they didn't fit, she'd take them back.
Oh, okay.
They try to shield you from those things as much as possible.
What about, do you remember just in particular,
had to be careful to make the right impressions and do things properly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
My parents told me that.
All right. What church were you guys, where your church goes when you were in Washington?
Yeah, we went to St. Francis Xavier. My brother and I. And Giles, I think, went to, I think he was a Methodist, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went on Preston Street somewhere.
By the time the other schools began to integrate, you had been in Poly 2 years.
Yes. I remember that day very vividly.
Describe that for me, you know, from a person that you've already been in the experience 2 years. What were your sort of recollections as the rest of the school?
Okay, well, it turned out that we were discussing it in a history class.
Okay.
And that morning after the decision was rendered, it was really quite interesting because the history teacher brought it up and he was asking the students what they thought about it. And it was sort of surprising. Some of them, you know, were saying, well, they didn't know how that was going to work and what were the problems involved and how. And I was just sitting there. And they were discussing it. And finally, the history teacher noticed that and said a word. And he said, well, now wait a minute, guys, we've had integration here for 2 years. And what do you think about it? And he said, what do you think about it, Mr. Clark?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, from my point of view, no, I thought it could work. In fact, I thought it was working at Poly. And I didn't see what all the problem would be with it. And some of the guys agreed with me after that. But it was almost as if they forgot I was there.
Okay.
You understand? You get it?
Yeah.
Huh?
I see that. Okay. Oh, do you remember his teacher's name?
But it was a really interesting class.
Okay. As the summer of 54 passes and becomes obvious that Baltimore's going to comply immediately, what were your recollections? And more specifically, I suppose there were other students, you know.
That was something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they first integrated the other school,
because
then they started these protesters that were out protesting them.
Mm-hmm.
And they started, I think, in Patterson Park over in East Baltimore. And then they, I think about a couple of weeks into it, they had a big crowd outside of Poly. And, I mean, there was a mob out there.
Okay.
A mob of protesters and police and all the other things. And by that time, I was a... By that time, I was in the class alone because the other two guys that were in my class didn't do too well on the exams and they didn't stay after the first year.
Okay.
And so I had gotten to know some of the white guys. I mean, actually, we had even gone out to lunch together sometimes, and some of the restaurants around would serve us, even though they wouldn't serve the other people around at that time. My wife is teasing me. it was coming about lunchtime, so I'm not brave. I'm not in the way I'm going to walk out there in front of a mob, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I was going to eat in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
So about lunchtime, a bunch of these white guys came up to me and they said, aren't you going out to lunch today?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to eat in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, you're not. And about four or five of them came to me. And we walked out through the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And went ahead had lunch and then we walked back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after we got back in for about the next class, the principal got on the loudspeaker and he said, okay, now, you guys have had your fun.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we've had integration here now. This is the second year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked well. No problem. Anybody who's a student here has 15 minutes to get back in class. If you're not there, you'll be suspended.
Okay.
And you can see the guys coming in. The next morning, it was all over. No more protests, no nothing. It happened to the other schools, but it didn't happen to Poly.
If I gave you a Poly yearbook, could you point out some of those guys who were, you know, helping you to, or I guess, escorting you outside or showing you that, you know, they were
probably right. Yeah, I'm sure. I know some of them.
Okay. Now, you said, from what I'm gathering, much of your fact, was there any sort of resistance?
Matter of fact, but it was still much, pretty much being in a crystal ball, and some of the teachers were not that friendly.
Okay. Give me an example, just like an encounter or episode that maybe sticks out in your mind.
Oh, yeah. There were a couple of teachers, one English teacher in particular. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm mentioning names.
No, that's fine. Or maybe did they treat you differently in class, or?
Well, they were told not to.
Okay.
So, by the principal and so forth, so they couldn't openly do it. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Was this body language, or?
Pretty much body language.
Okay, so, what year do you graduate?
I graduated in 1955.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I had trouble with the English class, so I had to take summer school there, but I finished in 1955.
Okay. What was that like? I mean, you're obviously the first sort of successful product that integrated your work. Do you get a sense of your own historical standing? I guess that's what I'm asking.
You know, at the time, not really.
Okay.
Maybe more now than then.
You're right.
Yeah. Because it was just one thing that I completed.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the next.
Okay. And you went off to college, or?
Yeah, I went to Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished Morgan. It turned out by being through the A course, I finished in 3 years. And then I went to Howard and got a master's degree at Howard.
Okay.
And then I got my PhD from the University of South Carolina in 1976.
Okay.
Yeah, physics. All in physics.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm surprised that since you've been there so long. I mean, I've only been there a few years, but I probably know your face if I saw you.
Well, I was the assistant dean in the School of Science and Math.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I should know you, really.
Yeah, I taught there, like I said, I've been teaching there since 95, but I took my master's degree there from 92 to 94, so.
Okay. Well, I didn't come till 95.
Oh, okay, well, maybe
that. I was at South Carolina State 35 years before then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great. All right, I'll tell you what then. Let me do this. I'm going to transcribe what we wrote. I'll get this release out to you. And I think I would like to speak with Mr. Giles, if it's possible.
Sure.
So if you could, you might have his address.
I have his number right here.
Great, let me have it.
His number is 410-788-2879.
Gene Alvin Giles. Great. All right. Well, Mr. Clark, thank you very much. I'm going to put this release form in the mail for you. You should receive it in a couple of days. And just read it.
Okay.
Okay. Sign it. Send it to me. I appreciate you for your time.
Okay.
And
if there's more information,
oh, certainly.
Feel free to call again.
I'm right, my dear.
Probably will try. If there are pictures and things you might want, I'll try to see what we have, my brothers and sisters and so forth.
Certainly. And if you do happen to make it back to any sort of commemoration, I assume they're going to have something next year.
So oh, yeah. They're going to have something. Yeah.
And maybe that'll jog some more of your memory if, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. You know, it's all hard to remember.
I'm only 31 and I can't remember high school, so I'm sure someone older would have a difficult time. All right. Well, thank you again.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And you have a nice day.
Pleasure talking with you.
All right, sir.